Today I'd like to share the secret teaching. I'm glad you all could make this. This came to me recently, and I was surprised because we've known about this for thousands of years, and it's been staring us right in the face, and we've missed it. Which I find really interesting. It's actually a word, one word. And the reason that we didn't get it is that it's really two words. On the one hand, human. And the other hand, being. And that's it. And we get them confused. But when you see that it's human being, then everything is resolved. And then there's no more struggle. The human can go through what human goes through, right? And that's a mixed journey. It's a mixed bag. You know? Sometimes it's pleasurable, sometimes it's painful. It's a huge range of experience. It's infinite. But being is already perfect. It's at peace. It's our true nature. It's the essence of life which animates the human. And so if you understand that, then there's no more confusion. Then you actually can have compassion for the human condition that you find yourself in. And the shift that takes place then is not trying to make the human perfect, even though you might still do that, and that's okay if that's what you're drawn to do, improve and learn. I mean, that's what humans do. We learn, we improve, that's fine. We practice, we get therapy, we go to satsang, okay? But that which we are, being, is already at peace, is already fulfilled, is already complete. It doesn't need anything. So realization is simply shifting one's perspective from human to being. It doesn't mean human goes away. Human is now seen from being. That's all. It's not identified with as what we are. It may be a hassle. We may end up screwing up one way or another or doing whatever we do and learning along the way, hopefully. But the being is already at peace. It's already clear. In fact, when we see life from being, then it shifts completely the perspective of human. Then so many questions dissolve now. So many questions that come up around this confusion. Well, I had a moment of awareness, now I don't have it, and I'm really frustrated. That's 99.9% of the questions. How can I have it all the time? How can I be high all the time?
Not taking a drug.
Yeah. Right. Easy. It's easy. It's actually effortless. That's the kind of really amazing part of it. Is that when you shift into being, there's no more effort. There's no more trying, because that's human. Human is the trier, the doer, the identifier. When we're identified in the human, then we are the body, we are the mind, we are the feelings, we are the past and future and present, all of it. We believe our story. We're identified with our story. So that's when you're identified in human. So then we know that. Okay, maybe that's where you are right now, in this moment. And that's all we can do, actually, this moment. There isn't anything else we can really attend to. Can we? I mean, think about it. Can you attend to the past, the future? You can think about it, certainly. But that's right here. As soon as you arrive here fully, being shifts into foreground. People go, how's that? It's grace. That's the old way of saying it. Oh, grace. All of a sudden, grace. I was touched by grace. Or you come to satsang and people are hopefully resonating on a good frequency, and so it helps. Kind of like, oh yeah, being. Oh, right. Oh, yes. But what you get at satsang is what you are. This is just a mirror. There's no one giving you something you don't already have. How could that be? However, when we see each other from being, there's this beautiful love, connection, oneness, amplification of the vastness, Shakti, and so on and so forth, right? We have all the ways we describe that experience of union. And it's very palpable in the human. The human can really feel it. Usually. Not always. Sometimes human doesn't feel it, but still happening anyway. So we start listening from being. That's it. It's just that shift. It's that, and eventually that shift is permanent. And being is all the time. Does it mean that human experience ends? No. No. If anything, I think human experience begins then. Then we get to find out how to be human fully. How to take care of ourselves, others, how to live this life. You know, there is a great sense of acceptance that comes from that. And at the same time, the freedom to still be human with feelings and all of it. How did we miss this for so long? Because we wanted to be perfect humans. Right? That's not that. That's not what this is. That's been a confusion for a long time in spiritual teachings. I certainly had that confusion. I don't know about you, but a lot of people I know did, that we're somehow going to be perfect, that we're going to have so-called enlightenment, all of a sudden, you know, our hair will grow back, or we'll all of a sudden attain eternal youth, and all of a sudden be profoundly successful and all of it, whatever. Some major miracle of life change. That could happen. But there's no knowing, actually. And that's really the realm of being, the perspective of being is the realm of not knowing. That's the ultimate security. That's the ultimate peace, is not knowing. Can feel it in the room when you say that. You can feel that, like, yeah. The heart just goes, yes. The heart radiates into yes. That's the guide that you want to follow. That's what it means to follow your heart. Follow the expansion of the big heart. It will tell you the right way. It will lead you. You know all this already. I know that. They haven't put any new cards in the deck. It's just been shuffled creatively from now and then. We're all it. There are no teachers. there are no students. Not in this realm, not in the realm of being there isn't. How could there be? How could there be, really? It's impossible. And then I think when we really get this, when being integrates with human, when we're human, when we're a real human being fully, then we feel, then we love, then we experience love. You know? I don't mean needy, possessive, that trip, the sticky one. I'm talking about that just open-heartedness that's just joyful and happy to be with you. Just happy, you know? There's just this joy of being. That's shared. We experience a kind of big heart touching or something. And then that realm, you know, often you have empathy, you know. When you have empathy for someone, you really feel their pain. And we all can, if we're sensitive and open, we can feel someone else's suffering. That's what it means, compassion, to feel with, doesn't it? That's what that means. Compassion, to feel with. We actually, when we're open, we feel each other, the human. It's all very far out and mysterious. So all the practices, all the teachings, you know, most of them are really about, well, what do you do when you're caught in the struggle with human, when you're caught in the struggle with what is? And how do you shift into being? Isn't that it? That's what the teachings are. And we each find out how. So once we have a taste or a glimpse of being, of their true nature, then we have the barometer set, the compass is set, and then we can find our way. We don't know how to find our way, but we know because we know what reality is. And that's what we begin to trust. It's obvious that we can trust. It's not a psychological trust, even though it might be, certainly will affect the psychology, but it's a much deeper trust. It's that profound sense of being held and nurtured and profoundly safe and free, literally free. It is freedom. And we know it. We already know it. And when it shows up, we go, yes, this is it. And then we learn not to, for the human to not hold on or try to grab it, because that doesn't work. In fact, it obscures it. And as I like to say, most of these teachings and practices are really learning how to get out of the way. And sometimes learning how to get out of the way means getting some body work, doing some kind of process to move emotion, or taking some herbs or whatever, you know. Doing something on the human, in the human domain, meditating, doing yoga, you know, changing one's diet. You know, all that stuff. The so-called self-improvement. But, you know, I think if you understand what we're talking about today, then that isn't rejected anymore. Then it's seen in the full perspective. People get all bent out of shape about this stuff because they want to believe in something. They want to believe in just awareness. or just zazen or something. We want to believe. That's just wanting. We want to believe, and that's because we want to feel secure. That's human. So my suggestion is, how you're paying attention, does it facilitate opening or does it facilitate contraction? Does it facilitate a release of identity or a intensifying of identity? Then it doesn't matter whether you meditate or do anything. It's how are you doing it and what's the result? So it isn't how much should I meditate? Should I not meditate? Should I do my mantra? Is that going to strengthen my identity? You know? Maybe I shouldn't go to therapy anymore. Is that getting me more in my mind and more, you know, I mean, am I going to just get more deluded, you know, and trying to fix myself? See, all those questions just poof, go. They're gone. You can just eliminate 99.9% of them probably, maybe 100% of them if you understand this. Then you're self-guided. Then you're not looking for the answers, you know, outside of yourself. For somebody to give you the answers, because it's you, what you are. It's already here. And then when you come here, we mirror each other in a very profound way, and that's a whole nother level of dialogue and communication that's quite wonderful and powerful all of its own. So. And we can launch into our dialogue now. So if you'd like to have a dialogue, we can just come on up to this chair here, raise your hand, and I think we have a handheld microphone that Kenneth has there. And since we're podcasting these satsangs now, if you would prefer your dialogue, if you come up, if you prefer your dialogue not to be available on the podcast, let us know and we will make sure it's not on the podcast. We'll edit it out. Okay. Doug.
Hi.
Hi.
So I often come to your satsangs with these great questions in mind, and then I get up to talk to you, and I can't remember any of it.
Good sign.
And
it's a good sign.
None of the words kind of make sense anymore.
Take your time.
Yeah, thanks.
Take your time. No rush. No pressure.
So without getting too deeply into stories and so forth, it's been a lot going on in my life recently where sort of old conflicts have kind of come back. You know, I've kind of reconnected with people that I maybe had some old conflicts. My father is probably the most prominent example of what's going on. And it's kind of this, you know, I've come sort of face to face with an opportunity to sort of really look at that stuff and the stories that I've been telling myself and the, you know, if I'm not in this particular role in my family or my father isn't this thing that I thought that he was, and then what am I? Like, what is my life story, I guess?
Is that a real question?
I don't know if it's a question. I'm just trying to get to...
Yeah.
I think I'm just talking about what's going on and...
Sure.
And, trying to find what the question is. I think the last time I talked with you, I think I recognized that I had sort of like a fear of kind of letting go of some of these stories, and I think that's kind of what I'm dealing with. I don't know if I have a specific question about it. I just, it's kind of what's going on for me. And I think I'm trying to get to the something authentic, mm-hmm. truth.
Okay. So what are you feeling? What's going on in your body right now?
I feel sort of like a heat, like a tightness and a heat, especially mm-hmm. in my head, my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I hear, you know, maybe like hair up.
Mm-hmm.
Some pressure there, maybe.
What's going on in your legs?
I don't know. It's a fidgety. Like they want to go somewhere.
Right. Yeah, just notice that.
Yeah.
Bring it all into awareness, yeah. if you can, your whole body. That's it. That's it.
It feels more, less disconnected between.
So you're shifting into being now,
mm-hmm.
and perceiving the human. Mm-hmm. That's what works. Otherwise, a human's always trying to get something or do something or accomplish something. Trying to get somewhere.
Yeah.
And you've shifted. See, that's what happens here. The shift. That's what this dialogue is facilitates the shift.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah. It's more solid. It's more real, I guess.
Good. That's it. See, once you shift, then it's obvious. You just move into the openness.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, all the questions dissolve.
Usually. Yeah, you're right. It's like
just like the whole thing just goes poof. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good.
Does. I think that's it.
This is it. This is it.
Okay. All
right. Well, see? This is returning home. This is what I was talking about. It's all the only thing I talk about, actually. Good. Beautiful. See? And now you know this.
Yeah. I think, I tend to try to make it a technique, though, and I don't think that's the way you mean it.
No. There is no technique. How could there be?
That there's something I need to do to feel a certain way or be a certain way.
We're not doing it. We're not in charge of it. It's hard to talk about it. It's tricky.
Yeah.
It's tricky. It's a tricky area to talk about. But once you're there, you can talk about it forever and it's not a problem. Right?
Yeah.
Then it makes sense. If you're not there, it's like, huh? Yeah, it's like a lot of mental sort of struggling.
Right.
So people can know whether they're there or not right now. Whether they're really at peace and tuned in, or whether they're in their mind thinking about something, distracted by something. Yeah, it's like, what does it take to just be here? To drop everything else and just be here?
Just being it. I mean, that's
it just you just allow it, and then here we are. But the energy can create all kinds of movement, can create all kinds of change in the body. Mm. When you get that, when you can really see that happening, then you let the human process unfold from the perspective of being. Do you follow me? And that's what's happening right now.
Mm.
You're not doing it, but it's happening.
Yeah. There's a movement, but I don't really feel like I'm directing it.
Yeah, you just be the movement. There is a wisdom in it. There is an intelligence in it, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
That's what intention is. But people don't understand intention from human perspective. That's control, pushing, trying, all that.
Right.
But real intention is the realm of being, and that is a movement. It's different. It's not a pushing at all.
Not my intention, exactly.
Yeah.
It was kind of through.
And that's the realm of prayer and metta and all those kinds of practices. Yeah. Those are all really meant to be understood from being. Otherwise, there's some trip you lay on yourself, which might have functional use, possibly. I think they do, actually. Even at the human level, they work.
Yeah.
Clearly. And they might even facilitate the shift into awareness. They grease the wheels a little bit. Make it more of a possibility to awaken.
Okay. Well, thank you, John. I'll let somebody else.
Okay, good.
Thanks for coming. Hot seat. Yeah. I feel pretty cooked. So
beautiful. So glad you came up, Doug. That's
me
great.
Too. Thank
right
you
on.
Very
it's
much.
Right on.
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thanks
yeah.
so much. Yeah. Keep discovering. That's the key. Keep letting it find you. Please, Sajjana. Hey, nice to see you.
Oh, same here.
Thank you.
Just a bit of a follow-up from our brief little telephone dokusan.
Sure.
Which was, we spoke about that I was looking for my core story.
Mm-hmm.
In accordance with Adya's good suggestion about
mm-hmm.
that. And I think that a lot of it, well, it came to me. I didn't really kind of think it up. That's not accurate. It came that a lot of it is around, just as you yourself so beautifully expressed earlier this morning, that when we live from the space of not knowing, it's like, ah. Whereas also Adya has spoken about prajna, or heart wisdom, which is not from linear thought,
mm-hmm.
but coming from what we are.
Mm-hmm.
But that's knowing. That's
mm-hmm.
a knowing. That's
mm-hmm.
not knowing.
Mm-hmm.
So between those two, again, based on what you spoke about just this morning, about trusting, living from a place of absolute trusting,
mm-hmm.
when it comes down to the very human issues, such as physical pain or weakness,
mm-hmm.
or lack or limitation, is the only solution or answer or way to meet those issues to just allow things to be as they are? Or, again, as you yourself see that, as you yourself suggested, to do something practical, like go to the chiropractor, get some herbs, get some therapy or whatever it is.
Why not? That.
Exactly. So,
is there a conflict about that? See, is there a belief that somehow that will?
Well, there certainly is a history of beliefs prior to coming in contact with the pure Advaita teachings in this particular expression.
Okay. But pure Advaita teachings, just talking from this perspective, being. So it says, I'm not the body, I'm not them, blah, 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 right? Don't worry about the body, don't worry about anything, just be. That's pure teaching, and when you are being, that makes sense. But does it mean that you don't take care of your body?
No.
Does it mean you don't eat anymore? You don't take care of yourself? I mean, I guess in some cases it might.
No, and there's no inclination to not take care of the body here.
Okay.
But there's just a not knowing what to trust in terms of, you know, when those human issues arise. That's all. It's just that simple.
Are you asking, maybe I'm not understanding your question, are you saying how do you make decisions about what to do for the human?
Sure. Sure.
Sure.
Well. Someone said when you come to a fork in the road, take it. Or just sit there. Humans, we have choice, right? We live and we learn, we experiment, we try things. But if we're trying to avoid being wrong or somehow not getting enlightened as a result of that, which is often what I hear, the fear of, well, maybe maybe if I meditate, I'm going to go to hell and burn in hell forever, or something like that. Right? There's some fear that, you know, usually it's fear-based, isn't it?
Certainly.
So that's, I would say, that's what's real. That's to bring attention to that. Otherwise, go to the chiropractor, you go to the osteopath, whatever, acupuncturist, who cares? You know, it doesn't matter. But if there's some fear, oh, well, if I do this, somehow I'm going to create a roadblock in my growth or my personal development, then I would say, I'm not saying you're saying that, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, what I'm asking about now has nothing to do with spiritual development. It's just about, you know, really kind of living in one's humanness and not avoiding one's humanness.
Good.
And being attentive and caring about one's humanness and not neglecting the human body.
Good.
That's all. It has nothing to do with spiritual development in this particular question.
So then,
I'm reminded of something I just said, that just as daytime and nighttime comprise a larger whole, which is beyond them both, which is one day. There's free will, not free will, comprising a larger whole, which is what we are, which comprises both, but is beyond both, like that. I guess there's a search for that place where, you know, where there is complete unknowing, trusting unknowing, complete
okay.
trust of unknowing,
I understand what you're
and
saying.
Complete trusting of the prajna, the heart wisdom
mm-hmm.
that comes.
Right. So you're really talking more about living humanly, intuitively.
Absolutely.
Of
absolutely.
Course. Well, that's what will develop as you strengthen in being. That will automatically happen. Because the intuitive really is in the realm of being. You can't hold on to that. It's not, again, people get identified with being intuitive, and that doesn't work. It really is the realm of not knowing, but it will come, and those kinds of messages will come. Those kinds of clarity of knowing which road to take, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so definitely, that's what I said, when you develop in being, you really find out how to be human. Then we're guided much more clearly, rather than passionately, rather than through our passions, our reactions, our desires. Then we're acting out of a kind of clarity with full cognizance of any passions that might be functioning.
Okay, thank you, John.
You're welcome. Yeah, yeah. I think it's wonderful to watch the intuitive develop. It's amazing. It gets more amazing. We all have it. We all have that, you know, that receptor, those kinds of whatever they are.
Yeah, and also you spoke about, you know, how as one lives more from the place of being, that it, there are, you know, the body just kind of does things unexpectedly. Some energies move around, shift around.
Yeah.
And I guess the reason this question is coming now is because there has been lately, like my right eye kind of twitches from time to time, or I'll feel some extra movement in my right hand, or some mm-hmm. aching in my legs, or mm-hmm. coldness, extra coldness, even when I'm wearing like two heavy sweaters and a turtleneck and a regular shirt and the heat is on and still cold. It doesn't do any good, you know. So that's what this is about now.
Yeah, I think that we have to, you know, we're challenged to find out how to take care of this body. And I think that, what is it that we need, if you're asking that, what do I need, how do I find out, is there a way to really have a deeper knowledge of that, maybe from this pure knowledge place? I think there is. And I think that, but we have to be willing to experiment and try things also.
Sure.
So, good. Feel the expansion on that one, so I think that's good. You're good to go. Thank you. Nice to see you. Please. And then Vicki.
Hello, John.
Hi. How are you?
It's our first meeting.
Oh, nice to meet you. What's your name?
I'm Jeff.
Jeff, nice to meet you.
When I was sitting there and you were discussing with the gentleman over here about the body,
mm-hmm.
at that precise moment I was experiencing a rather profound sense of being, just because I was, I guess, in my head until that moment. And I imagine that's what happens in my life quite a bit these days, because I've had some challenges on that level where I had to really be attentive to things on the human level and not so much on the being level. And I guess I just wanted to feel that.
Yeah, you're tuned in, aren't you? Yeah, it's good. So that's just, when you're here, when you're in this openness, just really the invitation is just to be this.
And then I guess sometimes it's challenging when you're not in satsang. It's easier in satsang.
Yeah, that's why we have it.
Yeah.
It helps.
For most people, is that the case? That
yes.
Uh-huh. Until a shift happens where
yeah.
it's just automatic.
Yes. And then it's still great to go to satsang, I've found. And but I think that, yes, that's right. That's right. Now, some people have spontaneous, you know, transformations without, you know, this kind of environment. But that's rare, I think. It's less common.
Yeah. And I know that there are no methods, but the key just now seemed to be the body, you know. And for me, it was anyway. I just immediately went into the body and, whoa, there's being.
That's why so many of the practices are actually training people to basically get out of your head. It's really pretty simple. As Joe Miller used to say, you can get more stinking from thinking than you can from drinking. But to feel is for real. And that's what he meant. To yeah. feel is for real, because feeling is energy. And it moves you right into awareness. You go into the body, you start getting embodied. And many people are completely disembodied. And many of their problems are because of that.
I believe that.
It's true. Yeah. It is really, really true. You know.
Wow. Thank you.
Very nice to meet you. You're welcome. Thank you. Vicki is next. Hi.
So this is I think it's a good topic, because I just had a week where it was really interesting kind of working with that, with this experience of being stuck in like irritation and holding on to resentment. And I was absolutely aware of that. And yet I was also aware of my resistance to letting it go, not wanting to let it go. So I just kept, like, all week long, just kind of like, oh, look, every time it would come up, it's like, you know, are you going to turn towards some expansion of this? No, not ready.
Okay.
So interesting to
mm-hmm.
do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did go to therapy later in the week, and actually it did kind of resolve, but it was in therapy that it's like this messy process of using the awareness of what the story is about it, and using the energetic feeling in my body about the resistance or about shame of like, isn't this interesting that I'm not wanting to let go of this? You know, what an idiot. You know, this isn't, you know. I mean, all that stuff. And so it was in the therapy session that there was kind of this marriage of all that head stuff, the resistance, the looking at it, the kind of observing it, the telling the truth about the whole piece, including what the body was doing. And then what the insight was at the end is that what had shifted during the week is that the energy that I realized, I'll be very clear here. The therapist said, I think you're onto something and you should probably write out all these things. And then he said, and then I said, well, it's already shifted. Well, what made it shift? Well, what shifted it was bringing all that energy together at the same time, which was kind of feisty energy,
mm-hmm.
and letting the feisty energy arise,
mm-hmm.
and then the shift came.
Good.
And so when he told me, like, oh, I think it'd be good for you to write, is like leaving it, and it was like, no, I think what the insight was is like, I needed to let it all the truth of it be felt and have it be messy and all over the place.
Yes.
And as soon as that happened, the primal move kind of was allowed to come forward, which was one of connection.
Great.
Which I knew intellectually, but couldn't tinker with it. I couldn't observe it enough to let it go, but it was letting it be this messier, almost kind of a lava-like energy. And how delightful that is.
Yes.
How delightful it is to feel that energy kind of moving forward and just, you know, wiping out.
I love what you're saying, because so many people think we have to avoid suffering or get rid of it or fix it. And actually, more often than not, you have to let it really happen.
Right. It was really kind of fun all week. I was actually, there was a part of enjoying it, and I was teaching my students about this kind of resistance during the week, and I said, I got to tell you, this is really hard work. I've been resistant all week long, and they just kind of laughed, you know. I said, no, really. I said, it doesn't matter to understand it. It's a little pointer, but I got to tell you that it's really interesting to keep being curious about what the hell's going on here.
Right.
You know, and so it was that, but it was, I think I enjoyed the quality of the energy that came forward.
Yeah.
That's
right.
And it was play. It ends up being aggressive and playful at the same time. And so I'm not going to write all that shit out. It's like, I don't have resistance to it, but it just seems like, why do that? Like, this mm-hmm. was more, it was interesting.
Well, so, it worked.
Yeah. So in light of what you were saying, it's like, how do you know when you're facing these quandaries? It's like, I don't know. I just keep telling the truth about, I'm stuck, I'm thinking this, I'm feeling that in my body. Just kind of keep rolling with it.
That's why this. Yeah.
And how fun that is.
The truth is what sets us free. Even truth on the human side. Especially truth on the human side. See? Exactly. That's what Rumi means, go into the fire. Or in Zen, turn towards what's difficult. Those are what those teachings mean.
And I think that one of the fallouts from this is an increase of I want to say surrender, but it's also an increase of trust in that stuckness, that stuck place.
Good.
And,
perfect. Excellent.
and a delight in it. I mean, mm-hmm. that's what I'm left with right now, is a delight of how fun that week was. Being stuck, it was really pretty interesting.
When we stop judging ourselves for being human, yeah. we're way far along.
And Bob got to experience the
other. I'll ask him about it later. I got debriefed. Right? Okay.
We're each other's foil.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing it. I think it's right on.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You too. Yeah, it's good to be with you too. Great. It's amazing how we need permission to be human, isn't it? We've all been so programmed to be good little boys and girls or whatever. Some version of it. My mother was very radical, actually. I'll call you a sec. And she taught me at a very young age, to trust my feelings. That's radical. She eventually regretted it, but... I'm deeply grateful to her for that. One of the many gifts she gave me, that was the big one. And she also taught me to question everything, which I'm still doing. It's gotten me in a lot of trouble. But very important. Come on up, Carol. Hi.
Hi. I guess, you know, I'd be interested in hearing you, or I don't know about other people do, but hearing your ideas on how you live a busy, you know, mental life with your job,
mm-hmm.
and still be, you know, act from the being part of the human.
Mm-hmm.
I just find that that's a struggle, you know, for me right now.
Mm-hmm. Because you're trying to be in the midst of busy thinking kind of activity?
Well, it... Yes.
What's the struggle? What's the nature of the struggle? Can you say more about that?
It's like, you know, throughout the day, all of a sudden I realize I've just been, you know, in my head.
Oh.
You know, for hours on end.
Oh, okay.
And then, you know, the minute I walk in my door at home, it's like, oh, you know.
Exhausted.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, oh, here's the sanctuary. And so,
right.
So I'd be interested in kind of knowing how...
Oh, I have a good suggestion for that one.
Okay, great. What is it?
Mindfulness.
Yeah.
Do you know about mindfulness?
I do.
It's actually very cool if you understand it from the being perspective. It's really like, you know, I don't know if you know Thich Nhat Hanh, but when he used to do retreats, he called them treats, like once in a while, every so often there'd be a little bell, and just kind of like... pay attention. Like, you're here now. Just like a little... You know, did you ever read Aldous Huxley's Island? He had little parrots that were in trees, and occasionally he'd go, "Be here now, boys, be here now." And I think that's where Ram Dass must have gotten the title "Be Here Now" from. Yeah. But I thought that was great. This is kind of just to remind people, occasionally be a little parrot in a tree.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's right. I remember I read the book when I was... Yeah.
Well,
forever
I have
ago,
signs,
but...
you know, on my visor, breathe, you
yeah.
know. I do all these things to try to
yeah, I think it's just, remind me. Just, yeah, I think you can begin to find space just to stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like music that music has rest built into it.
I see.
Otherwise, it would be relentless.
Yeah, so, but then I get confused. We talk about not trying, but isn't
that trying?
We have
it
to.
Could be.
Okay,
it could be. It doesn't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
How about just permission to try something? I mean, what's wrong with that? Again, it's again, when we're human, we are trying.
Okay.
When we're identified in human, we are trying. When we're being, there's no trying anymore. And you can certainly be. I mean, people do find themselves in situations with tremendous amounts of responsibility and tremendous amounts of planning and organization and running things where they're really being, where they're not trying, where they're not exhausted by it. So yes, the answer is yes, it is quite possible.
Okay, well, I wondered.
Oh yeah. No, it's not like everybody has to go and become a silent hermit in a hermitage. You know, for some people, maybe that's what they need to do, you know, and for a time. So if you're in the midst, if you've got a busy life, and I would invite you to take little breaks where you just stop for 1 minute. Mm-hmm. I know this is a practice. I'm recommending it. So yes, if anybody's confused, I am recommending a practice. And so, again, find out if it facilitates opening or not.
Mm-hmm.
If it does, then it's not a problem. Practices are not a problem.
Yeah. Okay.
It's whether or not they strengthen identity and belief. That's what you really want to be looking at.
I see. Okay.
So if you come home and you've got more energy and you're functioning better, hey, who's going to argue with that?
Yeah.
Proof's in the pudding.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that clarifies things a little.
Okay. Good. I get a feeling like something got that deeply. So.
That what?
Something in you heard that in a deep way.
Yeah. I mean, I can think of some things I could do. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. And try and see what happens.
Okay.
And you might be surprised, actually, and find things out that you never would have imagined.
Okay. Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I was really surprised to discover it when, like, I'm doing some very intense bicycling, which I've done a lot of, and just, like, really, really going fast and really having to have, like, intense, you know, like, handling and just really super concentrated space, and yet being completely free. No struggle, no effort, nothing, even though there's a lot of physical, like you might say, muscular activity going on, there was zero experience of effort. It was completely effortless. And there was just union with everything. It's pretty far out to find out that it can be anywhere. In any circumstance. So, the zone. Yeah, I really love what Vicky was talking about too, and I really want to talk a little more about it. Because really, I think a lot of what we do is we, you know, if you look closely to see and ask yourself, am I avoiding suffering right now? Am I trying to get away from it? And it's okay if you are, by the way. But just to know that you are. To say, I don't want to feel this anymore. You know, maybe you're having incredible pain. You know, I have these eye treatments every month, and people know about them, and I get these injections into my eye once a month. It's very difficult, and afterwards can be extremely painful, the recovery. And people say, well, how do you go through that? And I say, well, it just is. Yes, it is incredibly painful, and sometimes I have to sit still for 8 hours and not move. It's that intense. So the eye is resurfacing itself. It takes 12 hours. But there isn't get away from this. Because you can't. There's no one who can get away from it. So it just is. And so I think that, you know, that suffering is struggling with what is. Pain is human condition, pain and pleasure. So it can go either way, right? But suffering is when we're struggling. And when you can really open to the struggle, that's where liberation happens. That is the key to liberation, is to see fully the nature of the struggle. And at that moment that you do, openness is there. Every time. Pay attention, let me know. See if it's true. It's like a miracle every time, isn't it? It's always brand new, that realization, that opening. That's what I mean, we get to be human. Of course, how else could it be? Have you known anybody who stopped being human? Really? I want to meet them. I want to see it firsthand. People get very rarefied as human, that's true. You get some pretty amazing humans, some pretty extraordinary talents. That's true. I've seen that. I think we all are that way, actually, every one of us. We all have extraordinary talents. We're all unique, amazing, creative beings. Really are. And as we sit here in the silence, you can feel how deep the listening's become. Please, come on.
Hello.
Hi.
I don't know that I really have a question.
Okay.
It might just be a tuning in or...
Sure, of course.
Kind of a update or since the last time I spoke with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of, I guess, have felt a little bit like Alice in Wonderland. And
then you fell down the rabbit hole, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. How is it there?
It's great. I mean, it, but it also has its challenges. And I guess that fear, I get a really pretty profound experience with fear.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's still there.
So there's letting go happening in the body.
Yeah.
And that can be fearful. That can be frightening for the body.
Yeah.
It's very normal. As one opens, often the transition can be very scary.
My nervous system was just really...
And it can take time for the nervous system to adjust, and some people it takes quite a lot of time.
Yeah. And so right now I'm kind of, you know, taking it day by day, moment by moment, And I still kind of have a bit of anxiety about the future.
Mm-hmm.
But right. I really just try to sit in the moment with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's still there.
Yeah. You still have to take care of your life.
Yeah.
And find out how. Yeah, that can be challenging.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. I really have a question about it, but...
Well, it's good you just brought it up here and put it out here. That's completely what we're here for as well. Kind of like an offering, you know.
Yeah.
We offer ourselves up completely until there isn't anybody left to offer.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
And then there's just openness.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nice to see you.
Well, last week I had a really difficult experience. I was walking down West Cliff Street, and mm-hmm. I saw a guy with a dog who was very mean to the dog, and I felt, you know, upset about it. I walked on, and then I heard the dog yelping and crying, so I turned around. He was doing something very cruel to the dog, hurting it, and it just... It was so distressing. Even when I'm telling you this, I can feel my sort of nausea came over me.
Mm.
So there's a layer. So what happened is that I thought maybe I should have intervened, you know. I mm-hmm. should have gone and punched the guy in the face. but, of course, he was a big guy, and obviously he was crazy. So I didn't do that, you know. So mm-hmm. I feel that's one problem. I feel... guilty that I didn't do something if I could have, you know. But the other thing is the image of this animal being hurt this way. It was just remains with me, and it's still a problem. And I called a friend to talk it over, you know, what should I do? And there's a lot of ways to release difficult feelings, and
sure.
you have a very good way to let it move, and mm-hmm. so forth. She had a different way. But then I thought, what about the dog? Here I'm healing myself, but part of me wanted to hold on to this, to witness that.
Yes.
For, you see what I mean?
I do.
And
I do.
It's a curious problem. So
well, it's a lesson, isn't it?
I just don't know how to resolve it.
You're in the middle of a lesson. It's not fully clear yet.
Yeah.
I mean, back then, you know, well, I guess you could have called the police or something.
No.
You know, and done something, perhaps not
I,
got
I
yourself.
Don't know. In, I don't, but
right.
It's not so much this one experience as the experience of, insofar as we are separate people,
mm-hmm.
you see, we can save ourselves, realize the being and so forth. But then what about the dog, you see?
I understand. I think compassion for suffering, for other suffering, whether it's human or animal or planet, you know, planetary or whatever, mm. that's very real.
Mm.
It's a very real part of our human experience, isn't it?
Seems to be.
To have empathy and compassion.
Yeah.
And so, of course, it moves us to take action, usually, or to be involved in some way.
Yeah.
And most people, you know, who awaken, they do service, because that's
yeah.
really what's obvious.
Yeah.
What else is obvious? Accumulating more?
Right.
You know? That isn't really what's obvious. What's obvious is to give fully.
Mm.
That's really what's obvious. And so, you know, you're caring. How beautiful. And maybe you're sorry you couldn't have done something or had some other big guy go up there and punch him in the face or, you know, something.
Yeah.
You know, where you could have taken care of, where you could have helped a dog.
Yeah.
And maybe to love the dog even now, to care for it, is helping.
Mm.
To have compassion for it.
I guess I have the idea that knowing who you are, if you have a glimpse of who you are, it still doesn't deliver you from suffering in general. You know what I mean? If it doesn't deliver you from other people's suffering.
Well, I think you become much more aware of the human condition.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Thich Nhat Hanh, you know, my tears fill all seven oceans.
Mm.
The tears of compassion for humanity. I mean, I think that that's really, that is the heart of compassion.
Yeah.
It's different than suffering. It's that you really feel the dog. You're not separate.
Right, that's right.
That's the truth. You're feeling its suffering, its pain.
Yeah.
And that's really, that's very real.
Yeah, because it didn't seem complete enough for me to just kind of release my difficult feelings. You see what I mean?
I understand. That's what I mean. I think it's a real deep teaching.
Yeah. So
I do, and I'm glad you're bringing it up.
I wouldn't mind releasing them if I could punch them in the nose. You know what I mean? If I could make it okay.
Hmm. So what is it that you want? What is it that you're wanting? Do you know what you're wanting right now?
I don't know. I feel like it's not okay that this person was mean to the dog.
That's right.
It haunts me.
That's right.
So maybe that's just the way it is.
And you sit with that. Yeah. And you be all, and you bring that into the space here, which you're doing, which is good. I'm glad you are. That's what you can do now. Mm-hmm. Then maybe, you know, you did what you did then.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's, you know, it's having a powerful impact on you.
Right.
I think that's very powerful.
Yeah, it is. And I think I see what you mean. Just to really accept that I'm going to be haunted.
That this is what's happening right now. This is exactly what I mean by not avoiding the suffering.
Yeah.
Not avoiding the difficult feeling. It's absolutely. I was watching The Cove, the movie about this horrific slaughter of dolphins in Japan, which everyone should see, by the way.
Mm.
And it's just, I won't go into all the details, but when I saw some of this, I just was weeping. I just was weeping horribly. It was just so awful to see this. And yet, and then I took action, you know, you could take action. And these people who made the movie, and won the Academy Award, by the way, for Best Documentary Film. These people are true activists. I mean, they're really, you know, the guy who trained Flipper, the original dolphins for Flipper, now feels they should not, none of them should be in captivity because they're really extremely intelligent beings and blah, 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 blah. But anyway, it's an amazing film. And, you know, it's like you just go out there and, you know, you become radicalized in a way.
Right.
I think these kinds of human experiences are very transformative.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd really let it cook. I think it's powerful. It is powerful. I can feel it. It's you know, it's we learn in the strangest ways, don't we?
Yeah. I somehow don't mind it if people are hurt, but little critters.
We'll get to that later. Yeah, no, isn't it interesting how we can have that, you know, how we can automatically love a strange dog, but to see somebody on the street, get away from me. It's like terrified of strangers.
Or familiar people.
Yes, that's right. Thank you. Well, I guess it's time to wind it down a little. Okay. I'm just going to make a few announcements and then we'll have a little more time to sit together, just being together. Okay. Well, first I mentioned our schedule that, you know, I'm down here once a month now on the second Saturday of the month, and the schedule is posted on our website, sf-satsang.org, and you can sign up on the email mailing list if you like there, and you can be informed of other events and the schedule, and there's podcasts and teachings available as well there. Actually, I mentioned, I think, last time that the retreat that we're having the 3-day residential retreat in the end of April, April 29th to May 2nd was full, and actually now we have a couple of openings. So if you're interested, you could just send an email through the website, and if you're interested in knowing more about that retreat, information is posted on our website as well. And I do lead satsang in San Francisco, usually 3 out of 4 Mondays a month at the Quaker Center, and that information, most of you, I think, know this, but it's also posted, our schedule's posted on the website there. I really want to thank Mahesh for all the work that he's done over the last year or so to really make this possible for me to come down and for you to be here, and I really appreciate everything you've done, and I think that we're looking to change, what is it? What's the way, how you put it? I think he's wanting to shift the responsibility, so I don't know if you've found anybody else, but if you're interested in... I'm not sure what the responsibilities are that need to be attended every month, but if you're interested in helping out, it'd be really nice to let Mahesh retire. And so please speak to him or to Kenneth or me afterwards if you're interested in that. And I do want to thank also everyone else who helps so much, Damien and Tracy getting here early and helping set up, and Kenneth and everything you're doing. And I really appreciate your support. Also, we ask for donations since it's free to come. There's no charge, but we suggest $10 if you're able to give that or more if you like. We really appreciate it. And your support pays our rent here and also supports me. So I want to thank you for your support. And I think someone has the basket. Do you? What's your name?
Bridget.
Bridget has the basket. So if you didn't get a chance to make a donation on your way in, please see her and she'll be happy to receive your donation on your way out. The other thing to mention is that I'm in private practice in San Francisco, and I'm available for private sessions. So if that's something that you're interested in, you can contact me through the website and either set up a private meeting in person or a phone meeting as well. So I think that covers most of the announcements. Why don't we sit a few minutes and a little bit, and I'll hit the bell. Okay? I do want to thank all of you for being here. It's really wonderful to be with you. I know it's a beautiful day and there's lots of other things going on, so I'm really glad you were able to be here, all of us together, and I look forward to seeing you soon.